Greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. It's a blessing to be here and to be able to share with you this morning. To think about missions and mission work. And thanks, Kevin, for that devotion. It's a good introduction to what I want to think about this morning as we think about people serving God. And I don't know what you think about when you think about missions. You know, sometimes our minds kind of go to maybe that missionary that's serving over in Africa somewhere, or you name the country, halfway around the world. And we think, well, they're a missionary. And they are. But I'm going to venture to say this morning, probably well over 75% of your church here this morning will probably never move from Indiana to another country. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want you to understand that. But God has called us to be missionaries where we are. And I believe that's something that we need to remember this morning. So I want to ask you a few questions maybe to get your mind thinking this morning as we think about missions and mission work. I looked up the word mission to see what the dictionary says. When I'm talking about something, I like to know what I'm talking about, right? We like to know the definition. So I found a few definitions that I believe fit well as we think about missions this morning. So mission is an important assignment or command for a religious or political purpose. So a lot of times we think about mission as simply being maybe religious related, but it can also be politically related. And we're not going to talk about politics this morning, but thinking about that assignment, giving something that we are called to do. The second one is a vocation or calling of a religious organization to go and spread the gospel. So this morning, you and I are called to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a duty, it's a purpose, it's an aim. That's what a mission is. It's a group of person called to represent an organization or a foreign country. You know, as you think about a mission going somewhere, they're representing the country that sent them. You know, this morning, you and I are representing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're here in Indiana, Pennsylvania, wherever it is. You and I are called to represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you a few questions. We think about mission and that call to spread the gospel. What is the mission of a born-again believer? What is the assignment that we were given? And he said, well, that's easy. That's to spread the gospel. And it is. But do we understand how we can do that? Do you understand the calling that you and I are called to this morning? Do you have a specific purpose in life? You know, sometimes as I relate to young people, they say, what does God have for me in life? They don't know where God wants them. And young people this morning, I want to encourage you this morning. If you don't know where God wants you, you're exactly where God wants you this morning. Wait on God. You know, we do have a purpose in life, and that is to honor and glorify Him. What is God requiring or asking of me? What is God asking you to do this morning? As an individual, as a born-again believer, what is God asking you to do this morning? And that's a question that we all need to wrestle with. And I think we all wrestle with it throughout life. What does God want me to do? Where's God calling me? Another question I have you think about missions is my calling in life different from my vocation in life? You know, as you think about your life, I'm going to venture the guess that most of the men here and probably some of the ladies have an occupation. You go to work every day. There's something that you're involved in to earn a living. Is that earning a living different from my calling in life? And we want to consider that a little bit this morning as we think about it. Can I use my occupation to finish the mission that God has given us as born-again believers? What kingdom are we called to represent? Now, you and I are representing a different kingdom. We're not out representing some kind of political party. We're out representing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are called to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And how well are you doing that this morning? Do people know that you are representing Jesus Christ? Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. I want to read a story. It's a story we're all familiar with, the story of Zacchaeus. And just draw a few thoughts out of this as we think about finishing the mission that God has given the Church of Jesus Christ. And are we finishing the mission? And how are we going to finish that mission so we are faithful and so the Word of God can go on? I want to look at the life of Jesus just a little bit this morning. I believe we need to understand the life of Jesus Christ, why he came, to help us understand what our assignment is and is going to be going forward. Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 10. Here again, like I said, it's a story that we're all familiar with. But think about Jesus Christ and what he is doing in this story. Luke 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with the man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to thy house, for as much as he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. What I want to think about is, why did Jesus come? Jesus didn't come to promote his own kingdom. He didn't come to promote his own agenda. He said, I came to seek and to save those that needed salvation. So that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save the lost. I believe Jesus Christ knew that people need salvation. And they still need salvation. He came to seek and to save the lost. He brought salvation and freedom from the bondage of sin. Matthew 20, verse 28 says, even so, as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. There again, why did Jesus come? He said, I came to give my life as a ransom. He said, I didn't come for a life of ease. I didn't come for a life of pleasure. I came so I could serve others, so I could give my life, so I could bring salvation. He came not to serve, but to serve others. As you think about that, who has God placed in your life today that you are called to serve? And who are you serving? I trust that you're serving someone other than yourself. He gave his life a ransom to pay for the sin debt so you and I could have eternal life. Luke 4:43 says, Jesus Christ said, I came to preach the gospel. I came to preach the kingdom of God. And I'm simply bringing all this up to, in a sense, stir our minds of why Christ came. He came to seek and to save the lost. John 15:30 says, I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And who sent Jesus Christ? It was God that sent him. Jesus Christ didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of God, the will of his Father, the one that sent him. Jesus Christ realized that he came for a specific work. And that work was to point people back to God, the one that could reconcile them, the one that could bring them salvation. John 8, verse 28 through 30, this is where Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to the cross. And he told his disciples, he said, when I'm lifted up, when I die on the cross, when I'm lifted up, and when I die, when I'm raised again, he said, Everyone's going to know that I'm no longer serving self. I didn't come to serve myself. I came to serve others, and I came to give my life a ransom. And in these verses, he talks about, he says, I'm crucified. People are going to know that it's not on the authority of Jesus Christ that he died, but he came to do the will of God. He came to do what God called him to do. He wasn't living for self. He wanted to do the will of his Father, the will of God. That's why Christ came. And we can look at more references through the life of Christ, why he came, what he's doing, and his purpose here on earth. You know, as you think about Jesus Christ and what he did here on earth, I don't believe Jesus Christ viewed serving God as an obligation. Rather, I believe he viewed serving God as a privilege, coming to earth and to serve others, coming to earth and to give his life as a ransom. He viewed that as an opportunity. He viewed that as wanting to do it, as a privilege to do that. And I wonder sometimes, do I view serving Jesus Christ as a privilege, or do I view it as an obligation that I have to do? And I believe as we think about that, it makes all the difference of how I view missions, how I view my life, how I view finishing the mission that Jesus Christ has given us to do. I believe it should be a privilege that we can serve Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we have the message of salvation, and we can take it out to others that come into our lives. I trust that's where you find yourself this morning. You know, Jesus Christ, when he came, he didn't consider the cost. Jesus Christ didn't say, you know what? Let me think about this before I go to earth and die as a ransom so that I could bring salvation to the people that need it. I don't believe he did that. He simply viewed it as a privilege. He did it out of obedience to serving God his Father. So as we think about Jesus Christ, you know, think about, so was God pleased with the service that Jesus did? And I believe he was, and we can look at Matthew 17:5 or Matthew 3, verse 17. And these are both times where when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, and what did God say? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. I believe as God was there, he gave his authority to Jesus Christ. He gave his blessing to Jesus. He realized that this was his Son, and he was pleased with the purpose that he sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was fulfilling that purpose. You know, as you think about God sending Jesus to earth, God wanted the world to see Jesus Christ. God wanted to lift his Son up. God wanted the world to know, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. God was pleased with the service that Jesus was doing for him. God knew that mankind, in of themselves, could never save themselves. They needed someone to reconcile themselves back to God again. And that was through Jesus Christ, his Son, dying on the cross. God sent his Son so you and I could have life, so the world could have life once again. The world needed a Savior, and this came through Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you a question this morning, here again, to stir our minds. So when Christ ascended back to heaven, was the work of Christ complete? And I know that might sound like a trick question in a sense. I believe when Christ ascended back to heaven, the work that he came to do was accomplished. He died on the cross. He was the redeemer of mankind. But the work of Christ wasn't complete in the fact that even when Jesus Christ went back to heaven, I don't believe everyone on the earth knew about Jesus Christ. Everyone on the earth at that time hadn't received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The work wasn't complete. And the work of Christ still isn't complete. You know, we can look back at how many generations had passed since Christ ascended to heaven. How many souls were born onto earth? How many souls have gone on to eternity? And have all them souls accepted Jesus Christ? They haven't. The work of Christ isn't complete. There's still people that are lost. There's still people living in sin. There's still people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And that's where Jesus Christ is leaving it up to us as his church, as his bride, to take the word of the gospel of Christ around all the world and to tell the world about Jesus, to lift Jesus up so that people would know about him. He left his work for us to complete. He gave us the assignment of pointing others back to him. And that's what we need to do this morning. You know, without you and me being faithful, the work of Christ is not going to be completed. We're not going to be able to complete the assignment that God has given us as his people. Just as God glorified his Son, you and I are called to glorify Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, with our lives in everyday living. And I trust that's what we are doing this morning. You know, if you're not glorifying Christ in your life this morning, wherever God called you, you have already failed in the assignment that God has given us. The assignment of lifting up Jesus Christ. Our lives need to point others to Christ. And as our lives point people to Christ, Christ can then take that person and point them to God, the one that one day we're all going to stand before. You know, as born-again believers, those that have experienced salvation, those that have Christ in their hearts, that needs to be our aim and our purpose in life, is to point others to Jesus Christ. And I would challenge you this morning, if you're not doing it, why not? If people don't know you serve Christ, why not? If you're not talking about Christ, why not? So in my occupation, I work in the electrical industry. So I work around a lot of people that don't know Christ. On the different job sites, different things that I get into. And it's amazing how many times you don't have to say much. And they soon recognize you're different. I often get the comment, well, your crews are different than other crews. And it creates conversation. You know, of course, what are we doing different that others do? And, you know, it goes back to the way we present ourselves. It goes back to the language our men use. It goes back to all the conduct. And that allows us to talk about why we are who we are. It's not because we're better than anyone else. It's not because we have it figured out. It's because of Christ. Because of Christ living in us. Because of our men knowing what it means to serve Christ. That's what makes a difference. And are we using them opportunities to talk about Jesus Christ? Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, the verses that we're all familiar with, the Great Commission. And I believe we read that, we comprehend that. That is the assignment that God has given us. He says, I want you to go into all the world. Doesn't matter where you are, the whole world, and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach it and to teach it. And to let people know that they need Christ. And Christ is the one that can fill them and can bring them life. Are we serious about fulfilling our assignment this morning? Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. I want to look at the life of Paul. As we think about, so we know what the assignment is. The assignment is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and to go to all the world. So how are we going to do this? As a church, how do we do that? As an individual, how do we do that? And I believe Paul can help us understand this responsibility. And I want to draw some thoughts from the life of Paul as we think about finishing the mission, the assignment that God gave us. Romans chapter 15, I'm going to jump in at verse, I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, and then we're going to go back and consider a few things this morning as we think about finishing the mission, the assignment that God gave us. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promise made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, there is a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, to him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written to you more boldly unto you in some sort, as pattern, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, to those things which pertain to God. For I dare not speak of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, that through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem and round about to Iconium, I have therefore preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thither toward by you, if I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are in Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them of this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I am come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers of God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and with you be refreshed. And now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So this was Paul writing about some of his journey, about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want to think about is in verses 5 through 7. It talks about the unifying purpose. So who's the unifying purpose? Do we go out and spread the gospel? What is that unifying purpose? That unifying purpose is Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where we go. Jesus Christ needs to be the center of all we do. It needs to be because of him, because of what he has done. He needs to be the unifying purpose of bringing us all together. Verse 5 and 6 talks about being like-minded according to Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter where I go. I can come to Indiana, I can go to Spain, I can go to Ghana, I can go to Nepal, you name the country. It needs to be because of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ brings us together in a like-minded because of what he has done and what he is doing. It talks about one mouth, one voice, glorifying God. It's Jesus Christ that brings believers together. Maybe we don't always agree in application, but it's Jesus Christ needs to be that unifying purpose of why we go out. I don't know how much you travel, but as you travel through airports, I like to observe people. And it's amazing sometimes you see people, and I also like to talk to people. So as you talk to people and you find out, you see someone, right? And there's something different about that person. And as you get to talking to them, you understand they're a believer. And that is that unifying, that comforting of knowing you're not the only one. And you may never meet that person again. But there's something that brings you together. It's Jesus Christ. It's serving him. And that need, as you think about mission work this morning, Jesus Christ needs to be that unifying purpose. He's the one that we're taking. He's the one that we're presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to others that need him. It's not about me or my church. You know, sometimes we get, you know, here again, as I work with young people and talk to young people, you know, they want to do something exciting. They want to be like Amy Carmichael or someone that goes out to Africa and preaches the gospel of David Livingstone. And these people do well. But for most of us, that'll never happen. And I challenge young people, is it about you or is it about Jesus Christ? Do you want people to look at you or do you want people to see Jesus Christ? If you're thinking you're going out to lift your name up, you're going to be disappointed. It's Jesus Christ needs to be that unifying purpose. It's not what I can or cannot do. It's about Jesus Christ taking his name. It's not about competing with each other. You know, sometimes as you think about missions, you can start competing with each other. We're right, you're wrong. That's not mission work. It's Jesus Christ, that unifying purpose, bringing us together. Am I lifting up myself or am I lifting up God? You know, there's many people have become distracted in the work of missions because they took their eyes off of Jesus Christ. It's about building a bigger mission or doing more, doing it better instead of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ needs to be the unifying purpose as we go out and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. And Paul talks about that. Paul talks about how he came to the Jews. And he was sent to the Jews and the Jews rejected him. And he says he came to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, they accepted him. They accepted the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. It talks about he is a promise to the Jews to show them that the word of God is true. He was also a mercy to the Gentiles. As you think about these Gentiles, think about Gentiles as being those that are outside of Christ, those that don't know Christ, those that haven't heard about Christ. He came to all people. Jesus Christ was a unifying purpose that brought them all together. And he needs to continue to be in that unifying purpose of bringing everyone together. You know, we need to have our focus on Jesus Christ. It talks about exalting Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. And here again, think about the Gentiles as being the heathen people, those that are outside of Christ. And I challenge you this morning, do those that you rub shoulders with every day, do they know that you love the Lord? Do your neighbors that don't go to church know why you leave your house on a Sunday morning? Are you talking to them? Do they know about it? Are we exalting Jesus Christ among the heathen? I trust that we are. Are we showing the world Jesus Christ? It talks about the Gentiles praising God for what he has done. And do the Gentiles in my life exalt God because of the way I live? Do they see Jesus Christ? If Christ isn't my focus in life, if he isn't my purpose in life, we have already failed in our mission here on earth. I'm working with a young man right now back home, and he would like to go on mission work. The unfortunate part is there's some things in his life that he needs to take care of before he can go on mission work. I view him as a mission field, not as a missionary. You know, people, I want to encourage us. Let's make sure our lives are right with Christ. Before we can help others, I need to be filled with Christ. Before I can go out and be a missionary, I need to be filled with Christ. I need to know Christ. Christ needs to be in me, flowing out of me. When he is that, when he's the purpose of my life, when he's the aim of my life, when I want to serve him, I can then go out and serve others. Christ, the unifying purpose, the central purpose of my life here on earth. It talks about God abounding in us. Talks about how Christ is abounding in us. And I believe this morning, and we as God's people have experienced salvation. We experience the joy of the Lord in my heart. And when we're abounding in Christ, we're full of it. It's running over. People are going to see that. And people are going to question the joy that we have. And why do we serve a risen Savior? And it gives us opportunity to talk to him, talk to others about Jesus Christ. So my question is, what is your purpose in life? Is it to glorify God? Is Jesus Christ the center of your life, the unifying purpose that brings us all together? Second thing I want to think about this morning is the diversity of callings, verses 14 through 23. And we have Paul here talking about his calling and the places that he went to minister to. You know, this morning, each one of us is called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter who you are. If you have experienced salvation, you and I are called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's because of what Christ has given us. If you have experienced salvation, you're called to be a missionary. You know, I think sometimes, and Kevin alluded to this, you know, we think about a missionary as someone that goes out from among us to another area, another country, whatever that is. But do you recognize this morning that you and I are called to be a missionary where we are, whatever that looks like? We are called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all called to work in different areas of the king in the kingdom of God. And I believe that varies from person to person. And I want to consider that this morning. We think about the diversity of callings, how we're all called, and we can all be called to different areas of life. You think about the life of Paul. It says how Paul preached in Jerusalem. He started at home. He preached in Jerusalem, and out of there his missionary journeys went and took him to other cities. And Paul said, I want to go to places where the gospel hasn't been preached so people can hear about Jesus Christ. His goal was to reach the unreached people. And I believe Paul did well in that. But it started at home. It started where God wanted him to be. He started at Jerusalem, and then from there, his work expanded out. As you think about that this morning, there's a place for everyone in God's kingdom. And we're never without work. Think about Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem this morning? Where is your home area this morning? Where has God planted you this morning? You know, we're all living in a local community. And I'm pretty sure I can venture to say that you probably have neighbors that don't know Jesus Christ. Are we talking to them? Do I know who my neighbors are? And I know it's a challenge. We get busy in life and we do things, and yes, we know we have neighbors. But do we relate to our neighbors that are two houses down from us? Or do we say, well, they're without hope? They know who God is. I wonder sometimes. You know, we tend to think that we live in a nation that knows about God. But the longer I live and the more people I relate to, there's people living close to us that never heard about Jesus Christ. They have no idea who God even is. God is the big man that lives upstairs, is their description, at best. Am I willing to venture out and talk to these people? And I'm talking to myself. I haven't perfected. I want you to understand that. But are we doing that? Are we using these opportunities in our hometown to present Jesus Christ? What about at work? The people that I meet, my coworkers, our neighbors. Ladies, when you're in the grocery store shopping, I'm pretty sure not everyone you meet knows Jesus Christ. Am I using these opportunities to talk about Jesus Christ? Maybe we can even bring that a little closer home. What about in your local church? Are you busy in your local church? The church where God has called you to be. Maybe you don't struggle with that here. But I know back home there's times we struggle. We all want church. But how does church function? It takes people to do work. And are you willing to do that work, even if God calls you right where you are in your home church? I trust that you are. There's people around us that need Jesus Christ. And am I presenting Jesus Christ? Take that out a little further. You know, you think about, you know, what about different work projects, you know, whether short term, or what about going to other cities, community outreach, you know, something that requires a little more effort. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take a week off of work to go on a CAM rebuild project somewhere, or to go to another country somewhere to help serve? It takes sacrifice. Are you willing to do that? Maybe God called you to go to another land. Maybe God's calling you to, in a sense, pull your roots up here and to go halfway around the world somewhere, wherever that country is. Are you willing to do that this morning? Paul was willing to take the gospel where the gospel wasn't named. And there's still countries around the world where the gospel hasn't been named. Are you willing to be involved in that and take the gospel to those people? I trust that we are this morning. I trust that we are listening to the voice of God. You know, as we think about going out, you know, we all have a calling. And what has God called you to do? You know, as I think about a diversity of callings this morning, I don't believe one area is more important than the other. You know, sometimes we can look at foreign missionaries. We can maybe put them up on, we can lift them up as someone that's special, someone that is maybe, yeah, we tend to lift them up. But this morning, I want to encourage us as people, my calling, if God called you to live in your local community and to be a witness there, that is not any less important than someone's willing to pack their bags and go to wherever country God calls you to go. We all have a calling, and one calling is not more important than another. We need to be faithful where God has called us to. Are we fulfilling the call that God gave me? Are you fulfilling the call that God gave you in your life? Where God has you planted, are you fulfilling that calling this morning? I trust that you are. Value where God called you. You know, sometimes as people, we can become envious of other people. I don't know if you deal with that or not. We can look at someone else and say, if I could only be like them, I'd be better. Then I could better serve Christ. This morning, I want to encourage us. Let's not be envious of other people. God didn't call you like he called someone else. God called you where you are. Be faithful in that and do that well. Be faithful where God called you. Don't go unless God calls you to go. You know, sometimes we can get anxious and we want to do something. We want to go somewhere. Don't go unless God calls you to go. If God says, I want you here, then be here. Be where God has planted you. Be faithful in that calling. I'm going to share a little more this afternoon as far as our time in Haiti, but I just want to touch on that just a little bit this morning. So God called us to go to Haiti, and we lived there 6.5 years. And we came back as a family. We always envisioned coming back and eventually going somewhere else. It's probably our vision. And we came back, we kind of settled in here. And about 6 years after we were back, God called me to minister in our local home church. And while you can still go, right? Even if you're ordained, they need ordained men. And we were okay with that. Not quite what we had planned, but we were okay with that. About 1.5 years ago, God called me to the office of bishop in our home church. Well, now it even becomes harder. And as we started accepting where God called us, it wasn't our vision. It wasn't our plan. We kind of knew where we wanted to go with life, right? But are we okay with where God calls us? And I want to challenge you as people, be okay where God calls you. God needs faithful people back home. God needs people in the home church that are faithful, that are here. Don't look at someone else and say, if only. Be faithful where God called you to be. And it's something that I think we as a family are still learning, of being faithful where God called us. I trust that you can experience that this morning. Another thing I want to think about this morning is an intentional partnership. Verses 24 through 29, Paul says he was going to collect an offering from the Christian there at Macedonia, Achaia. So if we understand what's taking place here, there was the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering. And they were, I understand there was some kind of drought, something going on where they didn't have financial means to continue to go on. So the Gentile Christians said, hey, we have the means. We can do it. Let's collect an offering. Let's bless them so they can continue to minister there in Jerusalem. And that's what they did. You know, thinking about that intentional partnership this morning. You know, are you as a person, are you as a church partnering with other people to take the gospel of Jesus Christ? We can't do the work alone. It takes partnering together. Paul wasn't able to take the gospel by himself. He needed others to help him. And you and I can't take the gospel by ourselves. We need others to help us take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe we need to realize that this morning. You know, we need the church. We need a home church that's established, that's full of people that are serving Christ, that are passionate about serving Christ. We need churches. We need churches that are willing to send people to go. You know, sometimes we can just become okay with where we are as a church. But are we preparing people to go out and serve? Are we as leaders preparing people to go out and take the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we supporting and encouraging each other? It takes money for missions to run. Anyone that's involved in missions, though, it takes finances. And are we as a church willing to partner and to give our resources, even if I can't go? Am I willing to help? Am I willing to be part of that partnership? You know, we often talk about the home church. And I believe it's important when a missionary goes out, when we as a home church send someone, that we stay connected to that person. You know, sometimes the tendency can be, okay, well, you know, there's all kinds of different mission agencies out there, and we can, you know, we could go down through the list, and there's good ones. And we can tend to think, well, we'll send our people there, that way we don't got to worry about them, right? I don't believe that's well. And I think we can look back at times where that hasn't served us as a church well. And I want to encourage us as a church, let's partner together with them, but let's as a home church be involved in the lives of our missionaries. Let's know what they're doing. Let's send them encouragement. They need the home church. They need our prayers. They need our encouragement when they're on the mission field, whatever, wherever they are. Let's be part of that partnership. You know, as we think about people serving on mission boards or whatever it is, am I willing to be part of that partnership? It takes us all working together. It's not one or the other. One's not more important than the other. It takes us working together in that partnership to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And where has God called you in that partnership? Has God called you to give financially? Is God calling you to pack up your bags and to go? Is God calling you to be here at home, to be the encouragement? Is God calling you to serve on a mission board? Whatever the list is, are you involved? It takes an intentional partnership to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last of all, it takes radical obedience. Verses 30 and 31. It talks how Paul was going out there. It says that he knew as he's going up to Judea, he wasn't necessarily going to be welcomed with open arms. He knew that as he went there, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be strife. But Paul says, I'm still willing to go. You know, this morning's dear ones, we are all called to serve. And if we're going to serve well, it's going to take radical obedience. Those outside of Christ don't understand what it means to serve Christ. They don't understand why would we leave the comforts here at home to go somewhere else? Why would we talk to people about Jesus Christ? Why would we do all these things? It's because of our love for Jesus Christ. Because of my obedience to Him. Radical obedience. God's going to call us to do things that don't always make sense. It may not always make sense financially. It may not always make sense from the world's perspective. But are we willing to go because of my obedience to Jesus Christ? Paul was obedient to the call of God. He went places where he knew he wouldn't be accepted. He went places where he knew there'd be resistance, but he went anyways. I believe Paul understood the call that God gave on his life. He understood the call. He understood the mission that we as God's people are given. The mission to go out and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's willing to do it no matter the cost. The Bible talks about us as God's people being sheep among wolves. Are you a sheep or are you a wolf this morning? Are you willing to be that sheep to go out? Understanding that we may be devoured. Understanding that we may have to give our life for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where is your obedience this morning? Do you have that radical obedience? You know, Satan wants his message to be stopped. He doesn't want the message, the gospel message, to go out. But I believe we as God's people, we have the truth. If we're willing to follow Christ in radical obedience, no matter the cost, the message is still going to go out to the world around us. But I like what he says in verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. You know, this morning, dear ones, when God calls us to do something, whatever that cost is, whatever that calling is, God's going to go with us. We're not going on our own strength. When I'm called to go talk to that neighbor man that looks like he doesn't want to talk to us, has no interest in what I do, no interest in religion, God's going to go with us. God called you to do that. God's going to go with us. It says the God of peace is going to be with us. Are you trusting in that God of peace this morning? We don't need to fear. We need to trust in obedience to Jesus Christ. The task may be difficult, but God is there. God is with us. So in conclusion, I just want to ask you a few questions. Where has God called you today? Where's God calling you to serve? And I think it's a question that we all need to answer. Think about, where's God calling you to serve this morning? Are you being faithful in that calling? If God called you to stay here, be part of Salem Mennonite Church, to be faithful here, are you fulfilling that calling? God calls you to go somewhere else. Are you faithful in that calling? Are you faithful in the calling that God's given you? Is Christ being shown to those that you meet? When you go to work tomorrow morning, the person that you meet, are they being shown Jesus Christ? Can God depend on you to take the message of his Son to the lost and dying world around you? Can God depend on you? God gave us the assignment. Can God depend on you to take his message to those that need it? Are you finishing the mission of Jesus Christ? It takes faithful men and women. It takes faithful young people. It takes faithful old people. We all have a work to do. And are we being faithful in it, of taking that gospel wherever God called us to?